Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. Enter not into judgment with your servant. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I stretch out my hands to you.
My soul
you answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails.
Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go pit.
Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life.
In your soul.
The Old Testament reading for the day of Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound, like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them, and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I am going away, and I will come to you.' If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When did the church start? When did it begin? When can we kind of point to and maybe say, this is the anniversary of the church? And notice, of course, that I'm speaking of the church here, so capital C church. I'm not talking about our particular congregation or denomination or anything like that. When was it that the church, that is the invisible church, the one that is full of all believers, when did it start? Well, there's a lot of arguments to be made here, but the most obvious point in time that we could point to would in fact be today. Pentecost. In many ways, we can say that today is the anniversary of the Christian church. Certainly, the Christian church in the kind of form that we have it now. Because it was today, at this point, when the Spirit began his work. The Spirit's work of building the church. He does this on the foundation of the confession of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, as he talked about when Jesus was speaking to Peter. And he builds on that foundation through the mouths of the apostles as they go out and they share that confession. It is because of this day, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down on the apostles, that we exist as a congregation. It was the Holy Spirit coming down and empowering the disciples that led to the spread of Christianity across the entire world. And hopefully we recognize the truth that we are still in the same business as the apostles today. We are here to spread the word, to share the confession of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins with the world. But perhaps before we dive too deep into that, we should talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit some more. The Holy Spirit is probably the person of the Trinity that we talk the least about. And the reason for that is actually pretty straightforward. It's because he's the person of the Trinity who the Bible talks the least about. So if you remember the Trinity, and this will be kind of a brief primer for next week, which is Holy Trinity Sunday, we've got God, who is one, but he exists as three persons. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We obviously hear quite a bit about the Son, about Jesus, and what he has done for us. We also hear quite frequently about the Father. We oftentimes associate creation with him, perhaps most of all. But again, the Spirit is a little bit more subtle, a little bit quieter, which is really quite fascinating when you think about what it is that he does. So where could we start to try and figure out, well, what's going on with the Holy Spirit? And I think actually the best place for us to go to is that Nicene Creed that we just confessed a few minutes ago. Because it talks about who the Holy Spirit is in there. It tells us that he is God. At which point we can kind of think about, well, what does it actually mean to be God? We probably all remember those three omnis that we have from Sunday school and catechesis, right? We've got omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. There we go. Almost forgot one. So omniscient is all-knowing. He knows all things. Omnipotent is all-powerful. He is able to do anything. And then omnipresent is that he is all present. He is everywhere. And so when we're talking about God and we recognize the Holy Spirit as God, we recognize that God, the Holy Spirit, is all-knowing, is all-powerful, and is always present. But he is also one person of the Trinity. And what that means, then, is that he is of one will with the Trinity. There is never any argument between God the Holy Spirit and God the Son. Jesus never has an argument with his Father, which is just proof that he's way more perfect and that they are way more perfect than we are, right? But at the same time, he is not the Father or the Son. They are different. They are separate while still being one God. And we'll jump into that more next week. For now, it's probably sufficient to say, as the Nicene Creed says, that one of the ways that he is different from the Father and the Son is that he proceeds from the Father and the Son. And probably the best way to think about that is that he is sent forth from the Father and the Son. And what have they sent him to do? What does he come to do? What is the work of the Holy Spirit? And this, I think, is where the Nicene Creed is particularly helpful, because it gives us a list, and I like lists. He is the Lord and giver of life. I'm not sure if we think about that too frequently. When we think about who is the person of the Trinity who gives us life, I think we probably usually think about the Father, because we think of him as the creator, and make no mistake, he certainly is. But you are free to remember in the creation account that when he was molding Adam from the clay, that Adam wasn't actually alive until God breathed into him. And you are free also to remember that the word for breath and the word for wind also and the word for spirit are all the same word in both the Greek and the Hebrew. So it would be a perfectly valid translation to say that God spirited Adam, at which point he came to life. And as I mentioned, the Holy Spirit is the breath. He is the breath of God, is another way to translate that. He is, in fact, the one who gives us our breath. He is the one who maintains our lungs so that we keep on going in this world. And he was sent by the Father and the Son to do just that. This is one of the ways that we can say that the Holy Spirit is truly in everyone who is alive. Because they're still breathing, that means the Holy Spirit is there. But of course, he comes in different ways sometimes. And he is still God. So, for instance, one good example of this, again from the Nicene Creed, is that he is the one who spoke by the prophets. And that would include the apostles. You can hopefully hear this when we say that Scripture is inspired, right? You can again hopefully hear that inspirited. The Holy Spirit is the one who really in many ways is most directly responsible for the Bible. For the fact that we are able to go out and share the word. He is the one who was, in a sense, whispering in the ears of the prophets, and that the prophets were then just speaking what they heard. We don't know that it always worked like that, but it might have. The Holy Spirit is the one who is therefore responsible not only for delivering to us the life that we have in this physical world, but also our spiritual life. Because he is the one who made the word through which that life is delivered. He is the one who comes inside of us and makes the faith that we need in order to believe that word. That eternal life would be given to us. And that, ultimately, is the work of the Holy Spirit. Or perhaps maybe the biggest work of the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit who started the Holy Christian and Apostolic Church. He is the one who is responsible for you being here, for you believing in the word when you hear it. Because he is the one who not only inspired that word, but is the one who empowers people to go out and share that word, and is the one who gives you the capability of believing that word. That is what he does. He, therefore, is the one who comes to you in your baptism. He is the one who receives the faith and the forgiveness of sins that is given to you. And just as he gave you your first breath when you came into this world, so too, when we are resurrected from the dead, will he give you that breath. He is the one who will give you the life of the world to come. If the Father ordained that you would be given that life, and came up with the plan for it, and the Son is the one who executed that plan, came and earned your forgiveness and that eternal life for you on the cross when he died for you and all of the world, the Holy Spirit is the one who delivers that forgiveness and life to you every single day. So then, how does the Spirit work in your life? Or maybe a better way to think about it, because I just told you how he works in your life, but what does that actually look like? What does it look like here and now to have the Holy Spirit be living inside of you as he has come to you in your baptism and through the Word and through the Word and sacrament that you are about to hear? Is he going to cause you to prophesy and to see visions and dream dreams, as Peter talks about in our reading for today? Is he going to cause you to have these sort of ecstatic episodes that are, some people will call, speaking in tongues, where you're kind of just babbling? Is that what we should expect from the Holy Spirit living in our lives? Recognize that nowhere in Scripture does it say that that kind of thing is a requirement to be a Christian. Nowhere does it say that you have to speak in tongues in order to prove your faith. Nowhere does it say that you ever have to have a vision or a dream from the Spirit. You don't have to have those things. But what you do have to have is faith. The clearest sign of the Holy Spirit working in your life is when you believe, is when you trust the word that has been spoken to you. The Spirit's work in us is the same as it has always been. He comes to you and he creates faith in you. He comes to you and he builds you up into the church, into the body of Christ. And he does this explicitly through baptism, which is, of course, your kind of rite of passage from the world into the church. And he does it through the continual forgiveness of sins that you received in your baptism. This is one of the wonders of our God. Our God is not stingy with his forgiveness. He gives us so many ways to be forgiven. He gives us forgiveness wherein, like I said, we are continually washed clean by the water and the word. He gives you times like today when you are able to come forward and hear the forgiveness of the sins you confessed. He gives you the word where you are able to go anytime you want and again hear the truth that you are forgiven because of what Jesus has done for you, that you are saved because of what Jesus has done for you. He even gives you his very own body and blood, wherein you receive the sacrifice that he offered on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. And of course, any time, you can simply pray. You can call upon the Lord your God. You can ask for your sins to be forgiven. And they will be forgiven. And this is all because the Spirit is working inside of you. This is why the Spirit came down on the apostles so that they could share the Spirit with others, so that they could speak the word to others. Because ultimately, that's how the Spirit comes to us. He comes to us through his word. He comes to us to create faith through his word. He is the one who gives us our breath. He is the one who will return our breath to us, both our physical breath and our spiritual breath. And he is the one who sustains us in this world. Again, both our physical life as well as the spiritual faith that we need so desperately. And so too will he sustain us in the world to come. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.